WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. Woohoo! What a week. As we head into the second week of February, today, Money Matters, wham. I don't know if that was a good enough wham. Dow falls 3,200 points, over 3,000 points in just a few trading sessions. Just a few. Not just this week. We had all of this started the Friday before this past week, but we have so much to go over today. The emotion of why this hurts so badly. Why this cascade is happening. What's likely for the market to do at this stage. And then I want to give you a recession update as we get into the reasoning behind a correction that's this violent and this painful. You've got to start looking at the fundamentals underneath. Are we going to go into a recession? Because that really matters to determine what this market is going to do next. And that's exactly what folks are wanting to figure out. That's exactly what you want to find out. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about today. So what a week in the market. Worst week we have seen. And by far the most mileage, if you will, if you counted up all the points that we saw this week. If you looked at mileage, it's just a tremendous amount of movement from a point perspective and a percentage perspective, and that's really what matters. The one of the very worst weeks, really, we haven't seen a week like this since 2009, before the market, really before the cascade lower and the Great Recession started to end. And that, when you start talking about 2008 and 2009, that's a headline that grabs your attention. If you have a pulse, if you're human, if you've got ice running through your veins, maybe you don't care. But if you're paying attention and you're a living, breathing human being, this week has made the hair on your neck stand up. I was writing for the AJC last week in this article. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution will be out on Tuesday about this volatility. I was writing this article for the AJC going into the end of the week, discussing these historical 600-point moves in the market, like the one we saw not last week, but the week before Friday, and several of the moves we had throughout the week this week, 1,000-point-plus moves. And I had to keep revising my statistics for that article all the way up to the very end of the week because we saw so many of these mega drops. So if you've been listening today and let's say you've been listening to WSB over the past week or in times of corrective phases in the last, let's call it decade or so, like the night after the election when Donald Trump was elected 2016, like the market corrections that we saw in really not just 2015 and early 2016, but all the corrections that we have seen since 2009, you've heard the same general advice. Hey, it's going to be okay. Corrections happen. Don't worry. Everything's going to be fine. And this recent route lower that we've just experienced, as painful as it is, I still believe that advice to be right on the money. However, I think it's important to acknowledge that these drops are painful. These drops, if you're an investor, they hurt. Most people really, they cringe at the sight of seeing their money seemingly washed away. You know, you look at your account and you've built up $500,000. You built up $500,000. It's taken you a lifetime to do it. Took you 40 years to do it. And it doesn't matter how much you have. Maybe it's 200,000, maybe it's 500,000, maybe it's 2 million, maybe it's 5 million. But either way, it's taken you your entire life to build it up to where it is today. And then you see it drop 20 grand or 30 grand, or depending on the size of your portfolio, 50 grand, 500 grand in a week. And that hurts. It just, the bigger the portfolio, the bigger the dollar amount gets on a percentage basis. And quite frankly, it can hurt. And that contributes to this high level of emotion that is tied back to our money. I mean, to some extent, and I've written a lot about money and happiness, and money does not buy happiness. Or at least it does, up until a point, I do believe money does buy happiness. And if you've read You Can Retire Sooner Than You Think, I have a study between, you know, the relationship between money. How much does it take to get to a point where more money doesn't really mean any more happiness? But in the beginning stages, so when you're just getting your feet on the ground in America, you got to have a certain amount of money to just kind of survive and eat and have shelter in America. So in the purest sense, the basics of money in today's world, it really equals survival. And a baseline level of money equals survival. So and that's the world that we live in today. Perhaps psychologically, there's this linkage to, hey, so what was survival 1,000 years ago? Well, it's just food and it's shelter. And today, you've got to have at least a little bit of money to have food and to have shelter. And that might explain why psychologically or neuropsychologically or neurophysiologically, we get four times the pain when we lose a dollar. Four times the pain when losing a dollar than the pleasure we get to gain a dollar. And I went back this week and reviewed, this is really neuropsychology. It's the insular cortex in the brain that involves emotion. And there's a ton of it when it's tied back to emotion. There have been so many studies about this, and you can measure the emotion or the emotional activity in that part of the brain associated with winning or losing money. And if there's anything that lights up, it's the insulary. And so it's the emotion behind money and particularly losing money. So we're looking at this study after study. If you win at cards or in an experiment or in a game, there's some reaction in this area of the brain. When we lose money, even 10 bucks, it doesn't matter. We get 3 to 4 times the emotional response in that part of our brain versus when we gain money. And think about this as an investor. When the market's going up, we've hit so many of these all-time highs. That means your portfolio has probably hit all-time highs again and again and again. And you log into your Vanguard account or your Fidelity account or your Schwab account and you look at it and you say, wow, that's about as much as it's ever been. And then you log back in a week later and you're like, wow, that's about as much as it's ever been. Hey, looks really good. But what's the emotion behind that? You're not jumping up and down. There's a little bit of satisfaction. You say, oh, well, it's good. It's good. But you log in, and right before your eyes, in the real-time world that we live in, and you look at your statement, and boom, you lose $1,000, you lose $5,000, 10 grand, 100 grand. Imagine the fireworks that are going off now in your insular cortex. Imagine the chaos that's going on in your brain as you experience that loss. Fight or flight, emotional pain. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's all the above, and it's more in your face than it's ever been. We can look at our money on a minute, on a second-by-second basis, every second of every day that this market is open. So I get it. You know, we weeks like the one we just went through, they're just not fun. They're not fun for investors. It's much more fun when the escalator is steadily climbing week after week after week. But as you know, markets move in both directions. They don't just move up. You know that. And now that we're headed in the other direction, it feels unsettling. Now, on the flip side of this, we've got to remember the disciplines that we have to instill in order to be successful long-term investors. Some of that discipline is just having the knowledge of how often and how significant these corrections take place or how often they happen. And then how quickly do they recover? And what kind of environment makes these pullbacks go from bad? And I would argue that we're in a scenario that feels bad, but when do we go to worse? And when do we go to, and this is what you fear when we go through these corrections, you fear, well, when do we go into kind of downright disaster? When does a correction turn into a bear market? And then does a bear market turn into a 2008 when the markets were down over 50%? So some of the discipline in getting through this is just the knowledge of what's happened in the past. And I want to go through that today. I want to talk about the math behind these corrections. Typically, how far do they go relative to how far we've already gone? And then how do we recover? So I want to talk about that today. Number one, why such a significant and rapid pullback? Why did it happen? Why are we in the midst of this? Number two, what do these market pullbacks look like absent of recessions? And that's why it's important to look at what this underlying economy is really doing. Number three, what do stock market pullbacks look like that happen in the midst of a recession versus absent of one? And then obviously, by the way, we've got to talk about the economic numbers. Where do we stand today? And are we headed into a recession or not? All important issues to understand so that you can try to regulate your insular cortex, so you can try to be able to sleep well at night still and not let investing drive you crazy. The number here in the studio, I want to take your calls and questions today as well. Phone lines open, 404-872-0750. Again, phone lines open, the number here in the studio. Your financial questions today, 404-872-0750. You're listening to Money Matters. Stay tuned right here, News 95.5 AM 750 WSB.
Now here's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner Wes Moss.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Wham! Dow down over 3,000 points in just a couple of trading days. I know your emotions are, maybe they're redlining. We talked about how the emotion in the brain of these corrections, and you hear, oh, it's going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine. I did 15 interviews this week, and ultimately the predominant message is, hey, listen, these are viable pullbacks. These are opportunities. But today I wanted to at least start out by acknowledging that these pullbacks, they hurt. When you get a 15 or 10% correction, you see the account value of your retirement money go down. It just hurts. It's not as fun as when it's adding value. And I think it's important just to acknowledge that, because it's what makes investing difficult. We're in a sport that effectively gives you 8 to 10% returns per year. And if it were that easy, then everybody would do it. And if it were that easy, you wouldn't get outsized returns. A CD pays you 1% or 2%. You can't expect 10% without some pain. And again, combination of factors of why this correction happened. We're going to get deeper into this throughout the show and take your phone calls. But one, you've got the worry of the U.S. economy overheating, which is different than the spark of a lot of corrections. Number two, rising interest rates. You know, rates, as they go up, they can make borrowing more expensive for homes and autos and credit cards. Number three, quite frankly, just long overdue without a correction. I want to give you those numbers. And then let's call this a bonus reason that gets even deeper into the weeds. The match that really lit this fire, esoteric ETFs. And I'll repeat that word with the emphasis on esoteric. Not ETFs that track dividend stocks, not ETFs that hold bonds, not ETFs that we talk about here on Money Matters. I'm talking about SVXY and XIV and EXIV. These are ETFs and ETNs that were built to bet against rising volatility. Let's look back as we wrap this segment at corrections for some context. Before this recent market pullback, we had gone over 80 weeks without a mere 5% correction. For some context, 5% corrections have happened on average every 10 weeks. We went 80 weeks. We'd gone over 100 weeks without a full 10% correction, when 10% corrections happened on average every 33 weeks. As of last week, both of those correction levels finally breached. When we get back and we return, Money Matters returns, I want to go to the phones, 404-872-0750. Stay with us.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here. It is, it's a rainy, gloomy February day. It's the 11th of February, and we just experienced the last six trading days. So we've got to go back all of last week. If you're looking at the Dow Jones, was a relative disaster. And if you go back the week prior, is really when it all started with the jobs report. That was a good jobs report and a productive wage report. So average hourly earnings ticked higher. And remember, we've talked for many years now that one of the scary things about getting towards the end of the economic cycle, and when I say end of the cycle, I mean the end of the expansion before you contract again, is rising wages. So we had a good jobs report, and the good jobs report spooked the market and said, wait a minute, things are heating up so much that rates will start to go up, and then those rates in themselves can start to cool the economy back down. And that was one of many catalysts for this market to begin selling off. But it just got violent and it got rapid. And I think that's part of the world we live in. The information is so, it spreads so quickly, and there's such, quote, perfect information. That just means that everybody knows in an instant about everything that's happening, that these sell-offs they're quick and they're relatively violent. I mean, this week alone, the Dow down 5.25%, S&P 500 down over 5%. And that was with a 300 plus point gain on Friday. Could have been much further. We closed down beyond the 10% pullback level, which is an official correction. It has been a very long time since that happened. So another reason for the exits here is you have traders sitting ready to get out as soon as there was a sign of corrective behavior, because we have gone 2 years without one, that the finger on the trigger, everyone runs to the exit door, everyone stampedes all at once. And that's really what happened just in a few days. 10% gets wiped out of a multi-trillion dollar market, a trillion plus dollar correction, just like that. And it hurts. And we're going over the reasons behind this and acknowledging that these corrections are not easy and these pullbacks sting, if you will, but it is part of the process. And we know that there's a significant difference between pullbacks accompanied with a recession and pullbacks not accompanied with a recession. So that's really what matters as we try to figure out where we go from here. And I want to get into that today. Now, because we have taken so many calls in the last couple of weeks with Money Matters, I think that is, I know that's the best part about the show, is when we answer your questions specifically. So if you're kind of, here we are in this rainy, not beautiful day in February, and you're hunkered down and you're cuddled up listening to WSB Radio, you're tuned in to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning, you say to yourself, hey, I meant to ask these guys, this Wes guy, on Sunday mornings a question that I thought of this week. And it might have been about your retirement account or your Roth account or your TSP account. If you're a government employee, your thrift savings account. It might be a 401k question. Maybe your company said, hey, it's February. We're let 100 people. We're going to let you retire a little bit early. We're going to give you a package. And you can either have this lump sum that can go into your IRA or your 401k. Or we're going to give you a monthly amount. Which one's better? Pension versus lump sum. Maybe it's a question about your allocation. You're scared about the bonds that you own. You've owned these bonds, you've owned them for stability, and all of a sudden, as interest rates have creeped higher, the bond values have actually gone down a little bit. It doesn't matter if you have a bond ETF, a bond fund, or an individual bond. They all work the same. You're going to see the value of those change in this rising interest rate environment that we're in. What's the right balance for you? Maybe you have a target fund. Is this target fund right? Is this international fund right? Is this dividend paying stock ETF the right call for me and my family as I'm headed into retirement? These are the questions that swirl around in your head throughout the week. And maybe it's over dinner and you and your wife are talking about it and you say, gosh, maybe we should just call in on Sunday morning and ask Wes. We will give you the most objective advice of any radio show in the nation. We've done that for, we're now in the 10th year of me doing Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. My predecessor, Mike Cavanaugh, did Money Matters for 17 years. So we're in the 27th year of doing this, and we pride ourselves in this show about giving the most objective advice as we can humanly give on a Sunday morning. So with that, the number here in the studio. So phone lines open, 404-872-0750. That's the number. Ryan Ely will take your call. If we don't get a lot of calls, Ryan Ely gets lonely and sad in there like a wounded gazelle. So he is ready to take your call and pass it through. Again, the number in the studio, 404-872-0750. Or if you're listening in snowy Michigan, I just got an email from my in-laws that are in Ann Arbor, Saline. They have 10 inches of snow right now in the Ann Arbor, Saline area. And over on the western side of the state, Portage, let's call it Kalamazoo, something like 14 inches of snow. That's where I'm headed. And you look at Michigan at this time of year and you get why people give it a bad rap, because it's blanketed with snow and it's pretty rough in the winter. But in the summer, it is the most underrated, most beautiful place, I think, in the nation. If you're overlooking one of those amazing lakes, Lake Michigan, Crystal Lake, Charlevoix, Walloon Lake, if you're up in Petoskey or Harbor Springs, just a magical area of the country that I head up to during the summer. If you're out of town, 1-800-WSB-TALK, like my in-laws in snowy Michigan, 1-800-WSB-TALK. So we will go to the phone line. So we've got calls that we will get to in just a minute. And I want to get to a couple of, I think, really important points about this correction. So before we went to break, we talked about these esoteric, crazy ETFs that in the last few years have proliferated that were used to bet against rising volatility. So these are ETFs that, a couple of the ticker symbols. And again, these are nothing that I own and I've never recommended these, but they became prominent. And we're talking $5 billion, $10 billion, $20 billion worth of different ETFs that access this piece of the market, SVXY and XIV and EXIV. These are all ETFs and ETNs that were used to bet against volatility. Now, the volatility, as the market got more and more placid over the past 2 years and volatility went down, these ETFs shorted volatility. Remember, shorting means that you're betting against a stock or some sort of index to go lower. As it goes lower, you profit. And it became a very popular Wall Street trade. Billions of dollars short the VIX. And VIX is a measure of market volatility. It's calculated by the Chicago Board Options Exchange. And think of it this way. If the VIX is at 20 and it got down to the 9 range, but if think about the VIX at 20, then what that means is pricing in that there's a 68% chance, that 68% is one standard deviation either way, that the S&P 500 will trade in a 20% range over the next year, either up or down 20. That's that one standard deviation. That's what the VIX measures, if you've ever wondered. It's the range and probability of outcome over the next year for the S&P 500. That's a big part of what the VIX does. Traders can trade these VIX options and these contracts, and you can make bets, people making bets on this. And billions went into these ETFs, and they went up and they went up and they went up as volatility went down and down and down. And then because we were long, long, long overdue, so it got to be a very popular trade. We didn't talk a lot about it here on Money Matters because I think it's more of a trader's trade as opposed to an investor's trade. So if you're a hedge fund, you might have used this. If you're running some sort of long short fund or what's called a risk parity fund, you may have owned these short volatility options. Again, nothing that you and I owned probably. And then because we were long, long, long overdue for correction, traders ready with their finger on the trigger at the first sign of a pullback, and boom, that's what happened. The VIX went up dramatically. It went from 9 to almost 40. So think about it. It had to double from 9 all the way up to 18 or 20, and then it had to double again. I mean, think about that volatility change in an instant. The short ETFs that bet against volatility, they just collapsed. Some of them went to zero. So these are popular billion-dollar products, and they just went to zero in a couple of days, just gone. These ETFs just vanished. And think about that disaster. Think if you're a hedge fund or some sort of fund, you had $1 billion in one of these things. You lost $1 billion in like 24 hours, 48 hours. So it led to, it's part of the spark that led to this carnage. Again, I don't know exactly who owned these things. I know there were traders, not investors. And I know that the numbers were not, these were not, we're talking about billions and billions of dollars. So that spark, these esoteric ETFs, have been another part of, they themselves have been a disaster. And I think that these are also part of the beginning of the pullback that we saw. Now, what do these pullbacks look like absent of recessions and absent of economic reception or recessions? We go back historical precedents. Let's go back to 1987, so 31 years. No bear market. And this is important to remember. No bear market has unfolded that was not ultimately associated with a recession. There have been 20, well, now 21, as I've recently just updated the statistic, 21 10% corrections plus in this period of time, in the last 31 years. 21, if you count the most recent 10% corrections, 10% or more pullbacks in 31 years. The pullbacks that are associated with recessions have turned into what we know now as bear markets, 20% or more corrections. Again, the pullbacks that are associated with recessions that have turned into bear markets, 20% or more, the ones that have done that associated with recessions have averaged 25% downdraft. Today, we're only at 10. Think about how painful 10 is. These are 25. So it's more than double where we have gone already. And think about the pain we've already experienced. Now, absent recessions, pullbacks during a period of time where the economy is not in recession and not going into recession, those drawdowns have averaged 14%. Big difference between those two. So here we are already down 10. So we've already down, we actually hit down 10 and a, the down negative 10.5% mark. If we don't go into recession, I'm going to go into the reasons why I think we're not headed there. I don't think we're headed into recession and we stay into this area. Think another 5% pullback might be very, very believable or very, very much in the cards here. But my point though is that we're pretty close to that level now already. So it'd be a big difference to go a full 25%, but we're already down 10.5 to go another 5. It really wouldn't be that big of a deal. It really wouldn't be, it's not that much further to go. Another 5% or go maybe, and there's no way to know, but history tells us that from a percentage pullback perspective, we're getting close to a bottom as long as we're not headed into recession. We'll talk about those recession reasons as you stay tuned to Money Matters, and I will go to the phones. You're listening to Money Matters. Find me and the Money Matters team. We're right in Atlanta, WesMoss.com, WESMOSS.com. Stay tuned. More Money Matters right here, News 95.5 AM 750 WSB. Welcome back to Money Matters. Straight to the phones. Christy joins us from Woodstock. Christy, what's going on? How can I help?
Hey, good morning, Wes. I was wondering your thoughts on how the return to volatility coupled with rising interest rates, possible reintroduction of inflation, you know, just all of the now swirling economic factors, how do you think that's going to impact the housing market? It's been pretty strong for a while.
Yeah. Are you in real estate, Christy?
No, my husband and I have just been considering downsizing from the home we raised our children in into a home that we can live and then retire in. So we've been doing a lot of research and we listen to you. So we're reasonably well informed about other factors.
Well, cool. Well, thank you, Christy. I would say this is just my take on it. I mean, there is a real wealth effect when stocks are doing well. So as the market rises, it's said to add anywhere from 0.5% almost to a full percent up onto GDP because we feel wealthier. We feel like we can go spend money. A segment of the population that owns stocks can do that. It, as markets pull back, it can get to the point where it's pulling a 0.5% away from GDP. I don't. A 10% drop in the stock market or 15% really should not and does not historically have a material impact on the cost of housing. Because these are somewhat temporary. They move very historically. Corrections move a whole lot quicker than the lumbering, if you will, of the housing market or the prices of housing. What I think is probably more important, Christy, it has to do with the interest rate environment, and that is rising. So as the 10-year treasury rises, so do mortgage rates. And as mortgage rates go up, like they've just started to do, that's what can kind of put a damper, a little bit of a wet blanket on housing price inflation. And I think we're going to be in an environment over the next year or so where I could see housing prices, housing price appreciation actually slow down a lot or even stagnate. I don't see housing prices going down because the economy is still in really good shape. But as interest rates go up, hey, listen, the cost of a mortgage goes up and it takes away some of those marginal stretch buyers. So I think that we've got a little bit of a cap for a little while on the price of housing. I love the call. Thanks for listening. Hopefully that's helpful. Stay tuned to the 10 o'clock hour of Money Matters right here, News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.